Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service. Catch all the hard-hitting news and current affairs that focuses on all relevant First Nations issues from a First Nations standpoint. This is Bo Spearham with Let's Talk.
Yama. I'm Bo Spearham, Gamilaroi Kuma and Mara Wari, and welcome to Let's Talk. I would like to acknowledge the country on which we are broadcasting from, and also too. I also like to pay my respects to our old people and also young people who may be tuning in from around the continent, listening via the National Indigenous Radio Service NIRS or via our website, 989fm.com.au. Incarceration Nation connects the relentless government interventions since colonisation to the trauma and disadvantage experienced by blackfellas, the two key drivers of incarceration. Incarceration Nation officially premiered on NITV back in August this year and had another screening on the 31st of October.
Particularly in the justice system, we have to look at structural discrimination and we have to look at racial discrimination and racism at all levels.
And that was some audio from Aunty Olga Havnen, who is joining me on the phone via the NT. And also joining me live in the studio is Karina Hogan. Good morning to both of my guests, and thank you for joining us on the program. And could you both, whoever wants to go first, tell us your name, your mob, and where you're from, Aunt?
All right, I'll let Olga go. You go.
Sure. Look, good morning, and thank you for the invitation to join you. My name's Olga Havnen. I live in Darwin here. My family and my grandmother's country is Central Australia, Western Aranda.
And I'm Karina Hogan. You probably heard me. I usually do Friday Let's Talk, but I'm on today with Bo. I have links to Northern New South Wales and I'm South Sea Islander. And I worked on Incarceration Nation as an impact producer and also a researcher.
Awesome. So Incarceration Nation lays bare the story of the continued systematic injustice and oppression of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people on their own land. The film, if you've already seen it, told by blackfellas who has personally experienced this, who has fought in the justice system to have Aboriginal people released from incarceration, also fighting with family and loved ones who have lost loved ones in custody, whether that's in prison, also police. As I mentioned, there was the rebroadcasting of Incarceration Nation on the 31st of last month. Karina, the broadcasting happened last night. And we're not going to go down the road of, tell us what you feel, because we I've seen it. Obviously you've worked through the whole film. Mm-hmm. Just tell us a bit about the film and why we got the premiere again last night.
For those that haven't seen it, number one, first go see it. Number yes. two, this is a film that's been put together by a number of people who were really geared towards shining a spotlight on a situation here in Australia that, to be frank, doesn't get enough spotlight, or it gets the wrong type of spotlight, to the point where we're in a situation where Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are the fastest growing prison population in the entire world. Mm-hmm. And women particularly are massively overrepresented in the criminal justice system. For me, I joined this project particularly because it's affected me and my community in various different ways. And I have been incredibly passionate about trying to work to try and change some of the systemic issues that currently exist that continuously place our mob in marginalised positions where we are targeted, put into these systems that essentially fail our mob, and particularly, I think, young Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people,
It's been, well, over a couple of months now. How's it been received? You know, on a personal note as well, how do you feel the film has done, you know, from the original premiere up to date?
Look, Bo, there's no hiding that it is incredibly confronting. The images, the visuals are incredibly confronting, something that unfortunately I can relate to growing up and things that I've seen growing up. It's had mixed reviews. It's had different people kind of look at it and you know, want, really be compelled to change or compelled to reach out or delve into their own empathy a little bit. You know, there have been people that have sort of shied away from it because it's too much. I mean, it's a lot. It can have a tendency to bring up things that you may not want to be brought up. But I guess the aim of it for us was to actually just be raw and go, you know what, this is what's actually taking place. People that are surprised by this stuff, I mean, for me, it's not surprising. It's very indicative of what this system does. It's an incredibly violent system, and it continues to kill our people. It continues to desecrate our communities, and things really fundamentally need to change.
And that's what I want to talk about as well, is because of it's been a couple of months, and I know originally in the process, you know, you wanted to use the film as an action as well, you know, not just the film but a campaign side of things as well, to get, you know, people moving, as you mentioned, you know, people would have been experiencing a whole host of different emotions. Annie Holger, if I can ask you, we just played a snippet from you speaking on the film. Could you tell us your involvement in the film?
I was invited by the producers to, you know, be part of the film, largely, I think, because of the advocacy work that we'd done at Danla Dilber around the Royal Commission into, you know, the youth detention here in the Northern Territory. And Danla Dilber has continued to play a very active role, even though that, you know, it's the local health service here. We have a contract to provide primary healthcare services in Dondale, which is a good thing. And we also have staff who work as youth workers and engagement officers with those young people out there at Dondale. So we're very conscious of the situation of young people. Many of them that come into Dondale come from, you know, remote areas. Quite often kids are coming from the child protection system and then ending up in Dondale. So it suggests very strongly that both systems are failing these kids. And I just actually believe that there are better alternatives. We know that there are better options for dealing with young offenders. And locking kids up doesn't do absolutely nothing to deter them from reoffending. So I fundamentally do not understand why this country continues to do the things that do not work. And you could only lead to the conclusion that these things are done, that is, you continue to lock these kids up, only because people want to see some sort of punishment or harm inflicted on them. It is certainly not about rehabilitation or reducing offending or providing those kids or their families with the sort of support that they might need.
Well, you're mentioning the high rate of incarceration of young people. I know earlier this year the Northern Territory passed the, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, the new youth bill, which looks at, I guess, surveilling young people, especially young fellas who may be known to the justice system over that way as well. And also, how do you provide medical service to young people who are in Dondale, you know, and what are some of, I guess, are the health issues that young people face in Dondale as well?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I might start with that one first, actually. From our experiences in Dondale and providing primary health care, we have a permanent team in there Monday to Friday, so they work regular business hours. It includes one GP, usually either a nurse or a health worker, so, you know, other clinicians. We're required by law to conduct a health check on those kids within 24 hours of them being brought into the centre. So we're seeing them at the point of, you know, entry into the detention facility. And then that's followed up with a comprehensive health check. And as part of those comprehensive health checks, it is becoming pretty clear that a significant number of these young people have undiagnosed disabilities, particularly fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, FASD. Now, kids with FASD find it very hard to manage and regulate emotions and behaviour. They don't necessarily have a good understanding of why they're even in Dondale or how long they're going to be or how the legal system works. So essentially what's happening is that we're actually incarcerating kids with disabilities who should not be in a juvenile detention facility. They should be in a disability service. I'm sorry, you asked me something else there.
Yeah, I think it was mainly just sort of a statement, and if you could correct it as well in regards to the new Youth Act Bill.
Yeah, what happened there was that there used to be a presumption in favour of bail for things, for the kinds of offences that many of our kids commit. So things like break and enter, theft, property crime, you know, vehicles, misuse of vehicles, all of those things that we know that this is what our kids do and how they then end up in the juvenile detention centre. When you have remove a presumption of in favour of bail, it means that automatically any one of those offences, you're not entitled to bail, won't even be considered, and it is an automatically, you know, go to jail.
So that's essentially happened. Sorry, Aunt. So they're essentially just locking them up indefinitely.
Well, locking them up until their matters go to court, and quite often because the number of young people that are before the juvenile justice system, they can be in detention for extended periods of time before their matters go to court. Now, you know, these kids are in fact being incarcerated before they're even convicted. You know, so all of those basic principles of law that would normally apply in terms of our justice system are now being removed. So it's becoming more harsh, more punitive. I don't understand why the general community is not outraged by these sorts of things.
I do want to stick on Dondale for a moment as well, because it's been highly Dondale as an institution has been in the media spotlight for quite some years, obviously with the Royal Commission, with the story of young Dylan Voller, and then also recently the requirement of updating certain parts of Dondale as well. You know, in regards to what we're talking about, you know, we're talking about over incarceration, we're talking about, you know, the death in custody of our mob as well. Do you feel as if the youth justice system takes into account our concerns as blackfellas? You know, because I think it was in 2017, correct me if I'm wrong, Aunt, but there was a report saying that Dondale was 100% capacity of Aboriginal kids in there as well. Do you think the justice system has us, has us in their good faith in regards to, you know, rehabilitating young kids?
Absolutely not. It's a complete utter failure. The justice system is an utter failure, and so is the child protection system. At Dondale, I would say on any given day, 99% of the kids in there will be Aboriginal kids. The same with the Alice Springs Youth Detention Centre. The vast majority of kids in the child protection system, unfortunately, are also Aboriginal. How is it that you can remove a kid from their family, put them into the child protection system, but we believe, or, you know, are told, this will actually provide better opportunities for these kids, and then to see them go on to sort of transition between child protection and juvenile justice? Longer term, it then transitions them from the youth detention sort of space into the adult prison. So, you know, there's an entire systems failure across the board.
Yeah, and the evidence is so evident. Like, it's all there. It's all presented right in front of us. I wonder, Olga,
absolutely.
Like, I think, you know, how is it that I think that the youth justice system rely very, very heavily on the voting power? I mean, we're only 3% of the population.
Of course it is.
Right? And so to get out there and go, you know, let's chuck these people in jail, let's throw the fear of God into them, because if we chuck them in jail, this is going to make life better for you. You know, I think that is something that, when people don't have any experience or any knowledge around what something's what's happening in a space, you know, they'll react to fear. They'll react to something because it's the unknown. And I suppose that's what Incarceration Nation is trying to evoke. It's trying to show truth. It's trying to be raw and give an insight into what these disgusting places do to human beings. These people, they are human beings, Bo. You know, and
These kids should be at school, not in jail.
Yeah. Well, or as you mentioned before, they shouldn't even be in places like that with sort of the issues that they face as well in regards to having health issues as well. Just on that really quickly, I just do want to pay my respects to an Aboriginal woman who was a regular on Let's Talk with Tiger. With Unc, with Amy as well, and came on the show with me, Jeanette Hamill, Auntie Jeanette. She done a lot of work actually in the space of creating work around FASD, and also how a lot of young fellas in youth detention centres and also I think in adult prisons are affected by FASD as well. I know she was a regular guest on Unc's show and then on Amy's as well. She's actually on a show, Let's Talk Panel, I believe it is, with Amy called Incarceration that we did quite some time ago as well. So just wanted to pay my respects because I saw a photo just come up in our memories.
Such an important part, and I think that the incarceration system has become an extension of the health system. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a family member who lives with FASD, and even just trying to get a diagnosis for her out here in you know, just regular society with me, who, you know, I have an education, so I can speak and articulate myself. So even just getting a diagnosis for her was incredibly, incredibly grueling and difficult. Imagine being in a detention centre as a young person who does not know how to regulate their emotions, who live with really, really complex mental illnesses. And just trying to navigate your way around that. Well, let's be real. Like, what's the future hold for someone in a place like that?
Well, exactly. But the other question I would ask as well is, why is this not being identified while they're in the child protection system? Mm-hmm. And why is the child protection system failing to meet those health and developmental needs of kids? Because you'll know from the time that these children are probably about 3 or 4 that there is something wrong in terms of their development. There's something wrong in terms of their emotional regulation and their behaviour. So if these kids are there within the child protection system, why have they not identified these problems, and why have there not been the care packages for those young people that might have prevented them then from entering into the justice system?
Mm. Well, I've got like another question that sort of rolls into that as well, and the film sort of speaks to that even in the film description, as I mentioned in the beginning of the show. But you know, how does trauma from colonization and also disadvantagement play such a key role in incarceration or over the overrepresentation of our mob in these systems?
Well, have a look in any prison, if you like, particularly in Australia, but I would say probably around the world. Those prisons are full of people who come from poor family backgrounds, who are impoverished, who are disadvantaged, who don't have the opportunity to get a decent education. But it overly represents black people. You know, that happens in the United States. It happens here in Australia. So you'd have to think, well, what could possibly change if we were to do some decent work and investment in strengthening and supporting families and to reduce the level of poverty and disadvantage? Surely to goodness, that then would also have this flow-on beneficial consequence of reducing the number of people in prison. Mm-hmm. Prisons are failing. Locking people up does not work. And there are good examples of many countries overseas where they are now closing prisons because they realise that there are more effective community-type supports or community service orders that are much more effective, nowhere near as expensive, and much more humanitarian in their approach. If you treat people as decent human beings deserving of respect and of care, then people will behave accordingly. Continue to treat people as though that they are deviants. You hear politicians and shock jocks using words like scum. When you demonise people, how on earth do you think they're going to respond?
It was interesting, actually, something that Aunty Vicky Roach said in the film, Olga, and that was that she said prisons aren't failing. They're actually achieving everything that they set out to achieve. I mean, you know, they are failing to do anything positive for our mob, but for them, they're making a ton of money out of this. like a ridiculous amount of money. $6.6 billion plus a year is being pumped into this system. And what are we getting out of it? We're getting more people in prison.
Misery.
We're getting more issues around health. We're getting more people and communities being destroyed. The impacts it's had on my own family, you know, is huge. My brother sits behind bars right now as we speak, and you know, the issues that I'm having with him at the moment, you know, they're incredible. It's been 22 years. And what do I say to that? You know, I know that even, you know, my own partner said, you know, it would be great. There's hope. You know, people can turn around and do it. And I do believe that that is true. However, I also have seen my brother and I know how institutionalized he is. I know how much this has impacted him. And I have spent my life watching him move in and out of this system unrelentingly, with his five children in our family being affected by that, his four grandchildren. I've watched this, and this is, I don't want this for my nieces and nephews. I don't want this. And something has to change. Today we're actually having a conversation at 11:30 Brisbane time, 12:30 Sydney time, online. If you go onto incarcerationnation.com.au, you can have a look at that. Jump on the Facebook page and there'll be a live chat around this. I want to keep this conversation going, Bo, because it's it needs to happen.
Well, that sort of comes into my next question as well. The film in itself, you know, it leaves people with a whole host of emotions, you know, being sad, angry, you know, and hopefully inspired, you know, especially in just what you were saying, sis, you know, and I guess my next question is where to, you know, now, you know, lots of these films give us the hard truth and the hard reality of our world. You know, but I remember earlier on in this process, you were saying we want to do more than just sort of be a film. You know, so what can we do now? You know, what can our listeners do? Because I'm sure there's lots of people out there who watched the re-airing last night, and also watched the premiere and just said, I want to do something.
Well, there is a campaign off the back of Incarceration Nation, and you can jump onto incarcerationnation.com.au to join that campaign. And there are a whole host of things that you can do. You can host a screening. You can get involved. Also, jump on and share. Jump on and have a look at the Dajua Foundation with April Day, who is featured in it. And you can donate money. Have a look at Stop Black Deaths in Custody with Regina Bonner, who has done an incredible job supporting mob who have been affected by blackfellas in custody. Olga, I think you'd have a host of things that you would suggest as well.
Yeah, look, you know, picking up on that theme of, you know, there are a number of organisations or groups around, if you like, wanting to change this, which I think is just fantastic. So Change the Record is another group. Which has been out there very active. It's been led by Aboriginal people across the country. So, you know, check that one out. The other is a group called the Justice Reform Initiative. And again, this is sort of, you know, mainstream, ordinary Australians, ex-politicians, academics, you name it, just ordinary people also banding together across the country to want to change the justice system. Mm. So the fact that you've got a number of these groups springing up around the country kind of gives me some sense of optimism and hope for the future that things can change. And I would make one final point. Australia very quickly picked up on the American political tactics, which is about tough on crime. Well, guess what? In the United States these days, they're saying you cannot continue to build these prisons and fill them up. It's way too expensive, highly ineffective. It doesn't make communities safer. And therefore, they are starting to turn back the clock on this stuff. Australia needs to get up to speed. And politicians need to stop playing politics with this stuff, you know, particularly at the state level, and find better ways and better examples of things that you can do that will be much more effective, better for the people that may have committed those offences, better for the victims of crime, but better for the broader community. There is no reason for us to continue down this road.
I couldn't have said it any better.
And just really quickly as well, I thought of two. In Sydney, there's Deadly Connections, Keenan and Carly Mundine doing some amazing things, supporting the community down there. Even outside of what they do, they were just supporting the mob, you know, during COVID as well.
Carly will actually be on that call today.
Awesome.
So, yeah, she's deadly.
And also the Assistance Side up here, you know, they're doing some amazing things with supporting sisters who are incarcerated, the Free Her campaign as well, you know. And I'm sure there's more localised campaigns in your area as well. just sort of, you know, stay on social media and look at sort of what is happening. If there's rallies, go to those and ask how you can support, you know, those rally campaigners
and organisers. And don't harass your local member, your local politician. Everybody lives in an electorate somewhere.
Get
into their electorate offices and tell them that you and your family and your friends and whoever else you can bring with you want to see this stuff changed.
Definitely. And I believe here in Southeast Queensland as well, as up in Darwin, in the NT, they brought that new youth bill act in. The same thing here in Queensland is happening as well, and I know there's some, I know that the Greens are advocating against it and they want submissions especially from our mob, so later on this week I am going to be chatting with some of the Greens who are in Parliament and who are sort of, you know, pushing heavily against this as well, so definitely watch this space or listen to this space as well, because I'm going to continue this conversation. Sis?
That's great, and I just want to congratulate Karina and the crew as well to that documentary. I think it was incredibly powerful, and the fact that it has been rerun is also a real testament, you know, to how moving and it's just breathtaking. Can you sit there and watch it? I mean, I can't bear to see it, but it's just amazing.
Thank you, Robert. It couldn't have been done without everyone that was involved, and that was one of the things that was really integral to this project, is that every single image, every bit of audio, every visual piece in there, every single family member was contacted. And this is a three-year campaign that's going to continue on. There are so many things that we want to do off the back of this.
Even just head to their website, and on there it says, like, if you've seen it, there's a way that you can sort of take action and you can follow the steps in terms of how we can, you know, make this have more of an impact in our community, outside of our community as well. Karina, is there anything else that, you know, you fellows at Incarceration Nation are working on as well?
Just that I think it's really important to jump on, take action. You can sign up to the Raise Your Voice campaign, watch the film, share the film, take the survey as well. I've read almost, not every survey, but I've read a lot of the surveys, and keep the conversation going, keep sharing,
And there's still a current campaign as well in most parts of Australia to raise the age of criminal responsibility. Australia is one of a few. I think it's a very small amount of countries around the world that still lock up 10-year-olds. I believe the ACT raised it to 12 or to 14, but there is still some territories around and states around the country that are still continuing to do that. I just want to say a big thanks, Arnie Holger, for coming on, having a conversation, giving this amazing, your amazing perspective on this very important issue.
I just want to point out, Olga's been nominated as one of 16 people for Australian of the Year as well. So congratulations on that, Olga.
Oh, thank you very much.
That's good. Yes, deadly. Yes, if you've enjoyed this, before I wrap it up, there is amazing places where you can support. We said Dajua Foundation, get on there. They're all on social media. The Stop Like This in Custody website, they're on social media. Deadly Connections is on social media. The National Justice Project, they're doing some amazing things as well. Incarceration Nation is on social media as well. Check them out. What time is this, Jan, at?
It's at 11:30 Brisbane time, 12:30 Sydney time, and it's you jump on the Incarceration Nation Facebook page. There's a link to that chat today. There'll be Annie Vicky Roach, who has a lived experience, April Day, Dr. Crystal McKinnon, and the other names have escaped me.
Well, I have to tune in and see who else is on.
Dr. Thalia Anthony.
Yeah, she's deadly.
And Carly Stanley.
And Carly, yes, from Deadly Connections. Amazing. As I said before, I just want to say a big thank you for coming on and joining me on the program. Such an important yarn that we need to continue as well.
Thanks, well done, and thank you.
And if you've enjoyed the program, you can catch the podcast on our website at 989fm.com.au. And as always, it's a pleasure. You've been listening to Let's Talk here on 989FM for the best country, which is Murray Country, I should be saying.